Thank you, Scott. We are in the book of Hebrews, in the second chapter. We're talking today about the recovery of man's lost destiny. You know, when God created this world, it was a perfect world. Adam and Eve were in a garden. All of their needs were met. They didn't have to do anything. They were fed. They had everything. It was a perfect environment. They had total rule over all of the animals and everything that was there. There were no weeds, no poison ivy, no chiggers. I got into some chiggers this week, trimming some bushes, and I spent half the night scratching my chigger bites. No fun. There was no chiggers in the Garden of Eden. But we now live in a fallen world. I'm giving you a summary of the sermon to come. We now live in a fallen world, and we have a lot of problems in this world. It is a fallen world. I just lost a nephew out in California. He was diagnosed when he was 59, died when he was 61 with a rare form of Alzheimer's. He was a pastor of a mega church there in the Fresno area. And just a tragic loss, dying at 61 years of age. He was a great preacher, great person. At Greenwood Christian Church, Steve Poston, one of the ministers on the staff there, died yesterday. Steve had been battling cancer for about a year and a half. And we live in a fallen world, don't we? we really do. We have lots to pray about. Our prayer list is full. I don't know how you get through your prayer list every day. I'll remind you of a few right now. We need to pray for Kim Kinsley. Kim was in a bad motorcycle. I guess there's good motorcycle accidents, but he was in a bad one and broke his foot and scapula and some ribs and had just had his 70th birthday. I think Jay and Beth were over there and helped him celebrate his birthday. I didn't realize it was his birthday. We were down there Thursday or Friday, but he's in a lot of trouble here. He can't get up and move around because his shoulder injury and his foot injury are on the same side. So he's in a world of hurt. So keep Kim and Rosie in your prayers, his wife. She's the full-time nurse. And keep Hannah McAdams in your prayers. She's been battling cancer now for, 2 years or so, and just a tough deal. Marissa Hendrickson and Sandy, Gary's mom, is in the nursing home with Alzheimer's too, and there's so much to pray about. And a lot of that's just because we live in such a fallen world, don't we? That's just part of the deal almost. So there's a lot to pray about. So and there's a long list on the back of the bulletin. So keep that list. Pray hard for these folks every day. There is a chain of command in this present age. A chain of command. There's God, and of course Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. There's angels, and then there's man and the world. But man, according to this text, is a little lower than the angels, a little bit lower than the angels. Now, last week, we talked about why Jesus is superior to the angels. Now, the Jews, the Jewish people, those who'd become Christians, had a difficult time pulling away from their Jewish heritage, their Jewish rituals, their Jewish traditions. They had a difficult time. And one of those things that they had a hard time getting away from was the worship of angels. You know, the scripture says that that the Word of God, the Old Testament especially, came to this world through angels. Angels delivered God's Word. God spoke, and these angels, they came to the prophets. So the Old Testament came through the angels. The Word of God came to the angels. So they naturally worshiped the angels. They put angels right up there. In fact, there's a Gnosticism, which is a false teaching a false cult that actually has Jesus as just one of the angels. But Jesus is superior to the angels. How is he superior? Well, he was superior in a lot of different ways. He was certainly superior in name. Our text last week said he is the Son. He's the Son, not a servant. The angels were servants, but Jesus was the Son. To which of the angels did he ever say, "You are my Son"? He didn't say that to any of the angels, did he? He was superior in worship. The angels weren't worshiped. Well, they were by some of the Jews, but the angels worshiped Jesus. They worshiped Jesus. That's what it says in the text. He was superior in nature. His nature was righteousness. Jesus was righteous. Some of the angels were fallen, but Jesus was righteous. He is superior in eternity. Jesus was there from the very beginning, and he'll be there when everything on this world as we know it is over. Jesus is eternal. And the angels are not necessarily eternal. They are created beings. And he is superior in destiny. We talked about that just briefly last week. Jesus is superior in destiny. He will put all things under his feet. This all comes right out of this text that we were looking at last week. Now let's get back to this text. And in this great part of Hebrews, chapter 2, he starts with a warning. He says, "We must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away." We need to pay attention, don't we? Everybody say, "Yes, Jim, we need to pay attention." So that we don't drift away. This is a nautical term. You tie a boat to a dock, and if you don't tie it securely, it will drift away. Did you ever step on a boat that wasn't tied too close, and then all of a sudden you're doing the splits? That's no fun. We need to tie our lives to him so that we don't drift away. "For if the message spoken by angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment," that goes back to the whole Old Testament, "every violation, disobedience received its just punishment, then how shall we escape if we neglect or ignore such a great salvation?" This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. All right, now, let's look at this. "God also testified to it by signs, wonders, various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." Now then, it talks about the fact that Jesus, that man's destiny is revealed to us by God. Man's destiny. This is deep stuff. I hope you can stay with me here and pay attention. Man's destiny is, first of all, revealed by God. Revealed by God. So it's saying here in our text, it's not to angels that he has subjected this world to come, about which we are speaking, but there is a place where someone has testified, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him?" This comes from Psalms. The psalmist asked that question, "What is man that you care about him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and with honor. You put everything under his feet." So here he's saying that man, for a little while, not eternally, but just for a little while, that man for a little while is lower than the angels. How is man lower than the angels? Well, for example, man is lower than the angels in that man is physical. He has a physical body, and angels don't. Angels are spirit beings. Angels can move freely throughout the universe. Man is confined to the earth, but angels have the entire universe. They can just go anywhere and do anything. Man is confined to the natural. He was made from the dust, and to the dust we do return. Angels, though, had supernatural spirit beings, a whole lot different. Man could only know God as God came to this world, but angels were all around the throne. They knew God all the time. They knew everything about God. They heard everything God said. But the key is this, don't miss this. Angels could not die and man could. Angels couldn't die. Man could. There were fallen angels, but they don't die. You know, we talked a little bit about angels, did a little background on them. Angels can't reproduce. We can reproduce. We can have little angels, but they don't stay little angels for very long, do they? But angels don't have little angels. We have little ones who grow up to be anything but. So this is the key. When you sin, you will surely die. Isn't that what God said to Adam in the garden? When you sin, you will surely die. Isn't that what Romans 6 is? The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So man, who could die for a little while, is lower than the angels. Now, it's not true in God's love. God's love is perfect for us. God's love is overwhelming. God loves us. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. God's love is great. So man is not lower in love. He is not lower in his ultimate destiny, which we will get to. It's only temporary. So in this text, God is looking to a time when men are no longer lower than the angels. Now stay with me. This is a prophecy from Daniel about the end of times. I love this. This is so neat. Daniel 7:18 says, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and forever." The holy people, that's Christians, that's us, saints. Sometimes we think of a saint as somebody can do a miracle, and you know, the Catholic Church has these particular saints, and they have to be qualified in various ways. They have to perform two miracles, and they have to, you know, they can't just be named a saint in their lifetime. They have to be dead for quite a while. But we are saints all through the New Testament. When Paul addresses the people he's writing to, he talks to the saints. So we're all saints who believe in Christ, who trust in him. So he says, the saints of the Most High, the holy people, will receive the kingdom and possess it forever and ever. We are going to possess the kingdom forever. The saints are you and I. Angels will not rule. Men redeemed will rule. Then Daniel 7:27 goes on to say this, that the kingdom, the sovereignty, the power, the greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be handed over to the holy people of the Most High. Again, that's the saints. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. The ultimate kingdom is for men, not for angels. But for a little while, man is lower than the angels. There's an interesting text in Luke chapter 20, verses 34 and 36, there was a lady, and this is just a story that was made up. This is not a true story. This was made up by the Sadducees. There were Pharisees and Sadducees, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And so they made up this story just to test Jesus. They said, there was this lady, and she was married to a man, but the man died, and he didn't have any kids. So the tradition, the Jewish tradition, you can read about this in the Old Testament, the Jewish tradition was that a brother would then marry this woman, his brother's wife, his dead brother's wife, and he would have children for his brother's line, his brother's heritage. Well, the guy did that, but he died, didn't leave any kids. And so the third guy comes along, the third brother. This man had six brothers, and this is a line you would not want to get in, man. The third brother died, and didn't leave any kids. The fourth brother died. He didn't leave any kids. The fifth brother died. He didn't leave any kids. Sixth brother, seventh. They all married this gal, and evidently, again, this is a made-up story, tried to have a child for the brother's name, but didn't happen. Well, they all died. The woman finally died, probably died for relief, married to seven brothers, but she finally died. So the Sadducee, Sybil, whose wife will she be in the resurrection? And Jesus said, you don't know what you're talking about. It's going to be a whole different setup in eternity. It's not going to be like it is here. It's not going to be marriage like it is here. Now, some people may think, well, that's not good. And other people may think, that's great. You know, just depends on your view of marriage and your spouse. But Jesus, it's not going to be different. He says, we're going to be like the angels. We're going to be different. We're not going to be in these physical, temporal bodies that age and are subject to disease and accidents. It's going to be a better place is really what he's saying. He's saying, we're going to be like the angels. We won't die in heaven. What age is he talking about? The reigning age of Christ. Neither can they die anymore, for it says they are equal to the angels. That's what Jesus said to the Sadducees. They are sad, you see, because they don't believe in the resurrection. Somebody made that up a long time ago. So the kingdom age is going to be a whole different setup. Man and angels will be equal in some ways, but eventually man will rule over the angels and ruling over the earth. You know, in 1 Corinthians, there's an interesting text. 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3, it says, in eternity, man will judge the angels. Look that up in your Bible. Google that this afternoon if you haven't got anything to do. Man will judge the angels. So man is going to be superior to the angels. That's a wonderful promise. I don't have time to go into all of these other texts, but Ephesians 1, 20 and 21 says, Christ will reign over principalities and powers, which are angels. Which are angels. Revelation 3, 21 says, we will sit with him on his throne and we will rule. This is man's destiny revealed. Someday we will rule. Someday we will rule with Christ. Someday all things will be under his feet and we will be there with him on an elevated throne. You see a king, he's on an elevated throne and everything, man and all things will be under him, and that's what's the way it's going to be in heaven. So man will be given, man was given, I should say, dominion in the beginning. Again, he had rule over everything in the garden. It was perfect. But man ruined it. But God's going to give it back. Once the earth served man, it fed him at first. The earth provided everything that man needed. The earth was dominated by man, but he lost it, which leads us to the second point, and that's man's destiny is restricted by sin. Man's destiny is restricted by sin. Look at verse 8. It says, after verse 7 says, you made him a little lower than the angels, you crowned him with glory and honor, and put everything under his feet. Put everything under his feet. Put everything under their feet. That's what's going to happen. There's a tragedy here. Adam sinned, and man lost rule and authority over the earth. Satan, the serpent, the snake, said he's going to have to crawl on his belly in the dust. Women were to bring forth children in pain and to be subject to man. Man was cast out of the garden, and the earth was cursed. The ground was cursed. And the man was doomed to painful toil. That's the world we live in now. Verse 8 says, now you don't see demands, you don't see man's dominion over the earth anymore. And the reason is because of sin. Man's destiny, his dominion has been restricted by sin. I told you this was deep. Satan usurped man's crown, and the earth, which supplied man's every need without man doing one thing, was taken away. So there you see this change in the chain of command. Man fell below the angels for a while. This world is ruling man now. If you read anything ecologically, you know that we don't rule the world. The world rules us. Adam sinned, and then there was murder, and then there was lying, and then there was polygamy, and then there was all kinds of different sins. I was listening to a comedian one time, and he was telling a story about going hunting and going out and enjoying life in the outdoors, and he said, you know what? Nature will kill you, and it will. You get out in the wilderness, and a lot of bad things can happen real quick. So Satan was in control early over the earth, but man lost the crown, and he lost it because of sin. And the angels are subservient only in that, and the animals, I should say, are subservient only in the sense of fear. The ground, which once produced only good, now produces thorns and weeds and harmful things. We have extremes of heat and cold. We have poisonous plants and reptiles and earthquakes and tornadoes and floods and hurricanes and disease. One theologian said an army of billions of bacteria were released at the fall of man when man sinned. War and everything else broke out to make man lose his dominion and become a slave, fighting all of his life to exist. Man fights a losing battle, dying and dying and dying. Now he knows the earth's dying with him. Who's king now? Well, Satan's the ruler of this earth right now. He's the usurper who stole a crown. 1 John 5:20 says, the whole world lies in the arms of the wicked one. Who's that? Satan, the devil. Man's destiny is in restriction, restricted by sin, ruled by Satan and other fallen angels. The earth knows it's cursed. Romans 8:18-23 says, the earth groans for its redemption. No wonder this earth groans. It's fallen. God subjected the earth to the curse so that man's days would be full of trouble because of sin. Verse 21 says, the earth will be delivered from its corruption. This was spoken of a time, this speaks of a time, when Jesus will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. We call it the millennium. Whether literal or physical or figurative, it will be a great time. Just think, no weeds in my yard. No road construction around Greenwood or Indianapolis. How wonderful that'll be. Just think, no disease, no insects, no weeds, no storms. Man waits for that, but in the meantime is subject to the earth. Man sows and he does not know who will reap. He heaps up and does not know who will gather. He builds cities and palaces, and the lightning and the wind and the earthquakes and the floods destroys and shatters it all. Man lives in jeopardy every hour. His brain can snap at any moment. It's what happened to my nephew out in California. I mean, he was a brilliant person, brilliant speaker, a great, great preacher, and his mind just went away. I mean, it just so tragic. That's the kind of world we live in. We live in a fallen world. Man fights himself, and he fights the earth. We are in a groaning creation. The distress of nations, the impossibility of agreement between statesmen. We see it every day on the news. We have a world which languishes in political and social conflict. We have the pain that we see in animals that are suffering. We see the struggle of trees to combat insects and disease. We see the presence of great hospitals. You'll see the new hospital they're building, a new Methodist IU hospital in downtown Indianapolis. I mean, it's a monster building. It's amazing to house the sick and the dyings and the victims of this cursed earth. No wonder creation groans. But God didn't design it that way. For a little while, because of our sin, it is that way. But in the world to come, man will reign again. Hospitals will close. The wild animals will lose their wildness. They will change. The crops and the trees will no longer be stricken. The game of politics will be over. Man will reign, redeemed man. There's coming a day when the dominion that man lost, now restricted by sin, will be returned to man. Then man will be equal to, if not superior, to the angels. Verse 9, this gets better, folks. Can't get any worse, can it? Verse 9, man's destiny is recovered by Christ, by Jesus. Man's destiny is recovered by Christ. Man's destiny is revealed by God, it's restricted by sin, and it's recovered by Christ. The ultimate curse of man's lost destiny is what? Death. The ultimate curse, the last enemy, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, that we face is death. The wages of sin is death. But this is amazing. But look at verse 9. I want everybody to look at this and say this. But we see Jesus. Everybody say that with me. But we see Jesus. His version is a little bit different. It's the same NIV version, but I've got the old NIV version. And the new one says, but we do see Jesus. But we see Jesus. We see Jesus, who was made, even Jesus for a time was made a little lower than the angels. Now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Amen. Hallelujah, brother. That's as great a text as John 3:16. He, by the grace of God, tasted death for you and for me. That's eternal death. We will suffer physical death. We know that. And that's going to happen. So, man, resurrected man, will be sovereign. He will reign on the throne with God. He will judge the angels. You say, well, how are we going to die then in this way? Well, Romans 6 tells us that when we sin, we should not continue sin, that grace may abound. But he says, don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That's how we die. We die with Christ. We put to death, we strive to put to death the deeds of the flesh. I hope you know that. Paul wrote, I have been crucified with Christ. That means I died. That means if you have, you have died. And when we are baptized with Christ, we walk in newness of life. You know, I'm a king. Did you know that? I'm a king. I've not inherited my dominion yet, but I'm patient. I can wait. And that goes for you too, or it should. When you are buried with him in the likeness of his death in Christian baptism, someday God will give you a throne and a crown. I'm still alive physically, but someday this flesh will die. My body will die, but I will never die. I will never die because Jesus, a man who was made for a little while lower than the angels, suffered death. He tasted death for every man. Jesus removed the curse in order that we might recover our lost destiny. You know, people are always saying, well, what is man? You know, and there's a lot of philosophies and thinking. The idolater says, well, man's inferior to the birds and the animals and creeping things and stones and sticks, so he becomes an idolater. He worships stuff. The animus bows down, like it says in the opening pages of the book of Romans, he bows down and worships inanimate objects. The materialists say, well, man is a choice product. Man is the highest of God's creation. The pseudoscientist says, oh no, man's a glorified monkey or a gorilla. Most people, a lot of people believe some of that. But God says, man will be king. Man will be redeemed. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this picture of how things were in the beginning until man sinned, and then what sin did. But praise you, Heavenly Father. It will be restored, recovered, because Jesus tasted death for us. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And we will reign, we will rule, we'll be over the angels. We will reign with Christ on his throne. We look forward to this new heaven and this new earth restored, even better than it was in the Garden of Eden. Because we'll be right there with Jesus. We'll be there with our loved ones who've gone before. So, Father, we thank you for your great plan. This helps us maybe to see a little bit better what your plan is. I pray if there's anyone here today who's not decided to be a follower of Jesus, who paid the price for our sin, that this would be a day that they invite him into their hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to sing a little chorus here. Change my heart, O God. Would you stand as we sing? Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Well, thank you for being here today. Please keep these folks we've mentioned in our prayers. We do live in a fallen world, and yet God does hear our prayers, and according to his will he answers, and we just pray that his will might be done. Those that we've been mentioning here today, I want to thank Larry McAdams. Did a great job preaching when I was in Texas here a couple weeks ago. And if you haven't heard that sermon, if you didn't hear it, you ought to get one of these CDs and listen. It's Why I Love America, and it was just a great message. Thank you, Larry, for subbing and making me look bad. see if I ever ask you to preach. No, I'm kidding. I know it blessed me, and I think it will bless you as well. So I don't know how many copies he's got back there, but he can make you one for next week if necessary. So, well, Larry, would you say a benediction for us, brother? Amen. Amen. God be with you till we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you, with his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet. God be with you till we meet again.